Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
John and his wife and children have been attending Living Waters now for about 4 years. We really got to know John a few years ago when he spoke at our men's retreat, and we actually had him back the second year to speak again because his speaking was really impactful. Just a little bit of information about John. He took his undergraduate degree at Moody Institute and his master's at Regent College, and so there's sort of that Rick Watts kind of connection because that was Rick's neck of the woods. As well, John has pastored at local churches for 15 years, and he's been involved in overseas stuff and helping with parachurch, and currently serves as the executive director of Awana, which is an amazing program, and he's the executive director across Canada. So we're really happy to have John and his family a part of Living Waters, and I'm thrilled that he's going to be here today, and he's going to share out of our series on 2 Timothy. So let's give a... Did you hear what I just said? You're going to apparently share on sex this morning, but, you know, it's just a little surprise for John. So let's give John and his sex talks a good warm welcome. How did that happen?
That's good, man. I have never been introduced like that before. And I was thinking, I don't see that in the text, but thanks, Doug. You are my favorite person, way more favorite than Ruben. So I love you, man. I love you. What a great church. What a great group of leaders, men and women, who are devoted to shepherding this incredible group of people. And I'm just so privileged to be a part of it. And I feel blessed on Sundays. I feel as though the Lord is feeding me and encouraging me and building me up. I feel inspired. And this is what we need as believers, isn't it? As we, on a Sunday, are really infilled with the Holy Spirit in order that we might go out and live the Christ life. And this is what we're called to do because the Spirit of God is within us. We're called to go and live the life of Jesus Christ. And this is what's going on actually in the passage that we're going to read today. And it's not about sex. It's actually about Jesus. And it is focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, all about Him, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. We just sang that song, Jesus, All for Jesus. And I love when Robin Mark, the Northern Irishman, on his CD, Revival in Belfast, if you've heard it before, you've heard him say, Jesus, all for Jesus. And then they sing their wonderful song that we just sang. And that's what's going on in verse 8, where we're going to start. So if you have your Bibles, or if you want to look at the screen together, we look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, starting at verse 8, which begins with Timothy being encouraged by the Apostle Paul to remember Jesus. He says, always, Timothy, always remember Jesus Christ. I love that phrase, always remember Him. As I mentioned, it is, in fact, all about Jesus, and He should be on our minds, He should be on our hearts, He should be infiltrating our lives and the reason and why we live. When it's all about Jesus, Timothy is encouraged that whatever it is that you're doing, Timothy, whatever work God is calling you to do, you are reminded to enter into the life of Jesus, remember Him and who He is. I like to keep Jesus on my lips. I like to say His name. When I'm praying, I like to say the name of Jesus. When I'm singing in worship, I like to worship the name of Jesus. I like to talk to friends about Him. And this is a very Christocentric passage in that way, isn't it? In Africa, one of my favorite things to do when I'm with people who don't necessarily speak English or I don't speak their language, sometimes I like to just point my finger and say, Jesus. And then I often get very interesting responses in Africa. Sometimes I will have a response like, yes, Jesus. And then we can hug each other and we can just say the name Jesus. At least we have that in common. Maybe no other language, but we know the name Jesus. It bonds us together. Sometimes I will say to someone, Jesus. And they will respond, no, 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 Muhammad. And then I'll say, no, 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 Jesus. No, it goes on for hours, really, back and forth. It's just one word evangelism. But I've had some very interesting encounters when someone can come by to help interpret. There's some excellent conversations around what matters most. And that is, who do you think Jesus is? Sometimes when I'm riding on the back of a Boda Boda motorcycle in Africa, somebody will be driving me. They'll be, obviously driving the motorcycle, and I'll be on the back, and you have to kind of hold on, right? Because these motorcycles will be going down roads and over cliffs and things, and you have to really hold on. And so I've got my hands all over somebody, and I will then say into their ear, Jesus. So, you know, it's interesting. So sometimes the response will come, yes, Jesus. And then so, you know, we can pray together. And sometimes the response will come, no, and something else, and shake their heads. And then I've got my hands on them. And so I begin to pray, yes, Lord. Lord, that you would come and draw this man into your kingdom. And really, that's what's going on, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is at work around this world and building the kingdom of God. And through the person and work of Jesus Christ, he is drawing many into the kingdom of God. And so Paul is reminding Timothy to remember Jesus. Remember what this is about. This is about Jesus. It's not about you. Well, what is it to remember about Jesus? What does that mean? I mean, there's a lot to remember about him, isn't there? There's a lot that he did. You look through the New Testament and maybe you have your favorite moment. Mine is when Jesus walks up and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man walked out. It gives me goosebumps even just thinking about that great moment. So many miraculous things that Jesus did. Certainly, there's all that he said. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. So many beautiful things that he said that we memorize and we hide in our heart, and we often want to let those little nuggets out of our heart and onto our lips. There's what he did and there's what he said, and certainly what's going on here in this passage is that Paul is reminding Timothy to remember Jesus and remember the cross. That's definitely central to this passage and what we're reading today. Remember the cross. And this is where I think as a people of God in this 21st century, I think this is where we can really connect well with a letter like Timothy. Because sometimes with Timothy, we might feel a little bit disconnected when you say, well, maybe you're not young like Timothy was. And you say, well, I'm not male, you might say. I'm not a pastor. What context do I actually share with this Timothy person in order that I might relate best to this message? And it's places like this, isn't it, where we connect so well with this letter. Remember Jesus, and that resonates in our hearts. And we say to ourselves, I do remember him. I remember the cross. And every time that I sin, or every time that I feel weak, every time I know that I'm a broken person, I remember the cross. Right? And I'm doing an action there, as if I'm savoring this, right? I learned this from some great black gospel churches in Los Angeles that I had the fortune of being able to attend. And there I learned that wonderful action when I'm thinking about just how good God is. Sometimes I go, You want to try it this morning? You want to give it a go? All right, let's try it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, this is good. We're going to have this as a regular worship experience now. It's very Pentecostal. I love it. I love it. So remember Jesus. Certainly remember the cross. Do you feel weak today? Have you come broken? Have you come as a person who's experienced sin in your life and you know it? And there's something that's nagging at your heart? And you know that this guilt is something that you need to deal with. Remember the cross. Jesus is the one who has brought redemption by his blood. He has washed you clean. Remember him today. Well, that's not the only thing that's going on in this passage, but it's a great start to it. It's a great thing to center on Jesus. And now things begin to pick up a little bit of pace as Paul reminds Timothy to remember Jesus and to remember him as the next phrase, which is the Son of God. So always remember Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David. That's the phrase, King David. Now, why King David in this passage? Why would he bring that out? And we know, don't we, throughout the scriptures that the Lord has always desired to be the Lord of our life. And during the time of the kings and King David, there was a promise given that there would be a king over Israel and really a king over all of those who follow God. And that king would last forever. And there would be an everlasting kingdom that would be built. And that is realized in the person of Jesus, isn't it? He was, in fact, a descendant of King David. And then fulfilling the great prophecies of Isaiah and this promise that was given to King David, Jesus is born as a king in this great upside-down kingdom that he builds, the kingdom of God. And so he came not only to save you from your sins, but in fact, he came to save you from your sins in order that you might be drawn into the kingdom of God. And so Timothy is reminded as a follower not to be distracted by building the kingdom of man. That kingdom is built on power and coercion, and it's built on greed, and it's built on self-focus and selfishness. But the kingdom of God is built on entirely different principles. And those principles are described in the life of Jesus and in his teachings. So remember, Timothy, remember the cross, and remember the reality of the kingdom of God that is being built in the life of Jesus. Do you belong to the kingdom of God today? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have been brought into the kingdom of God, and you belong to a kingdom that is expanding all over this world. It is a kingdom of many who love that same Lord that you worship. Always remember, Timothy, Jesus Christ. Remember that he is the king, and he is building a kingdom that you are a part of. And remember that cross that we just talked about? That cross that is the irony of all ironies, isn't it? That cross, which would be the strength of the kingdom of man, is actually the strength of the kingdom of God, isn't it? And so we remember that cross, and through that we remember that we're part of this kingdom, and what a strong kingdom it is. There is no kingdom like it. Remember, Timothy, those things. And so you can imagine Timothy being encouraged at this point, couldn't you? This passage, maybe he's inspired even as he's hearing this. Encouraged and inspired. And this is where we connect so well with Timothy in this. Next phrase in verse 8 is that Timothy is to remember Jesus, a descendant of King David, and remember that he was raised from the dead. And this is, of course, what Paul is going to bring up next, isn't he? Because he's brought up the cross, which is so important for the building of the kingdom of God, but really that's the penultimate moment in Jesus' ministry, isn't it? The ultimate moment is the empty tomb, the resurrection. And so in a great crescendo of thinking through Jesus, his person and work, Paul is saying, remember that cross. Remember that kingdom that he's building, Timothy, and remember that empty tomb. Because of it, you have life. God has taken the sting out of death because of that empty grave. It is the greatest moment that has ever happened in the history of mankind, the empty grave, where God, man, came back to life, and he came forth, and he lives now forevermore. Unlike Lazarus, who died again, Jesus never died again. He is eternally alive, and that impacts us in the way we live our lives now, doesn't it? It makes us motivated to want to call others into this kingdom too. And that's what Paul's going to begin to talk about. We've got to call others into this kingdom because it's being built by the Holy Spirit in such a way that we want everyone to be a part of it. We want everyone to know that he's alive. That's what the disciples did, didn't they, when they saw him alive. What could possibly motivate the first century to explode with humanity the way it did? What would motivate people to move to such unbelievable degrees to change really the known world at that time by bringing the message of Jesus wherever they went? What could possibly do that? It's that they witnessed him back from the dead, and that's what motivated them. One of my favorites is to think about the person, the disciple James, or the half-brother really of James. The follower, the one who wrote the book of James. And sometimes I like to think that James
based on some words in the book of John, that maybe James, as a brother of Jesus, didn't really believe in him, didn't really believe in who he said he was. But then James ends up being one of the first ones in the Jerusalem church to stand up and to call the church together and empower them with this great letter that he wrote. He becomes a martyr for the sake of the kingdom of God. And what could possibly do that? He saw his brother die, and then he saw him alive. And it motivated people like James and others to do the most extraordinary things. Here's an evidence that I like to think about as it encourages me to remember the resurrection. Do you know that Julius Caesar, that ancient figure, lived 100 and some years before Jesus? And Caesar has been written about. In fact, he even wrote some of his own stories down. But there are about 12 manuscripts, ancient manuscripts, about 12 of them, pieces of paper or a couple of sheets of scrolls, about 12 ancient documents that we look to now to know that he even existed. That's the only way we know that Caesar truly existed, is about those 12 pieces of paper and scrolls. What about the New Testament? What about Jesus? There are 5,800 manuscripts and fragments and ancient documents. What happened? Something extraordinary happened. I mean, that's pretty good for Caesar, to be honest, in those ancient days, to have 12 ancient documents that tell us the story of him. That's pretty good for an ancient figure. I mean, these things are very, very old. They deteriorate over time. But for the New Testament, 5,800, first of all, it's a miracle. I think it's something that only the Holy Spirit could possibly do. But listen, it's not just that. It describes for us what was going on in the first century, doesn't it? People were motivated. It was an explosion of Christianity where people were copying these things down and they were sending these things out so that there was so much of it. We get a taste of what was possibly going on in the church at that time. People were moving based on what they had seen, the resurrection. Friends, we've seen the risen Christ as well, haven't we? We've seen him in our lives. There came a place and a time in which we realized he was alive. Because we knew that he was alive, we put our trust and our faith in him. And it motivates us then in the same way that those first century people were moved. There is today an explosion of Christianity that's going out through the disciples who follow him everywhere in this world, men and women, who are doing incredible things in the name of Jesus Christ because they know he's alive. So remember Timothy, remember Jesus, all for Jesus. Remember he's building the kingdom of God, and remember that he is, in fact, resurrected. The next phrase in verse 8 is that this is the good news that I preach, says Paul. And so as I've mentioned then, if we are in fact believers in Jesus, this good news story, then we want to take that good news and we want to preach it. And I just want to emphasize that word preach for one moment, because in this day in which we live in, we are to describe and to declare and to preach the good news of Jesus with our actions. We know that, don't we? Our good actions, our redeeming work in this world where we go around. We're humanitarians, we're earth keepers, we're people who are peacemakers, aren't we? We are those who want to practically show the love of Jesus through the work and the actions that we do. But we also want to use our words too, don't we? Sometimes we just got to use our words. We've got to say the name Jesus to those who don't know him. And we know it. And I want to encourage you today. I want you to feel the blessing of the Lord upon you to be his evangelist. Whether you have that gift or not, you, like Timothy, are called to preach Jesus everywhere you go. So how do I do that? Oh boy, every time is different, isn't it? I was on a flight from Calgary to Vancouver not so long ago, and we were sitting in the gate area. Everybody looked like an oil businessman, except for me. And this other guy, he looked like he'd just come off the oil rigs. And he was a big guy, and he had dreadlocked hair, and he had tattoos everywhere. And he was a big, muscular guy. Tattoos all over his face and into his nose. I mean, he's just tattoos everywhere, right? And I was like, wow, that guy, he looks awesome. I mean, that is amazing body art, right? Wow. And then I thought, I wonder who's going to have to sit beside that guy, because, that's going to be a story, right?
And sure enough, there I was. And I was going to have to sit by that guy. The Lord was like, I love this part. Watch this, guys. So there came the roughneck, and he sat beside me, and I, how's it going, you know, pleasantries and that sort of thing. And then I said to him, hey, what's your story? And it turns out people really like to talk about themselves. And so it wasn't really that hard for him to start talking about himself. And before you know it, you know, we're coming over the mountains, we're coming. He had told me some of the most personal realities of his life, to the point where he actually said to me this, dude, I am so lost. So lost. I think I can preach after that. Yeah? You're so lost. I said to him, tattoo guy, I said, I know what you mean, feeling so lost. For me, I want to tell you that I believe in Jesus. And I believe that through Jesus Christ, you can be found. That's my story. And in a very authentic way, I believe I was able to share the gospel with him. And that was all Jesus. I don't know how to preach the good news in every circumstance. It's not the same every time. It's not some formula that we work through, but it's the dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is giving to Timothy as an encouragement here. Remember Jesus, kingdom of God, resurrected. Preach that good news, Timothy. Preach it everywhere you go. Well, we're moving on from verse 8 to verse 9. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. Well, we've heard in previous sermons, haven't we, about the reality of being the suffering one who is chained up for the gospel. And in this particular passage, what Paul's bringing out for Timothy is that the chains won't hold down the kingdom of God. In fact, what happens is that the more you chain up the gospel, the more it grows. And this is a truth. It is a reality. With my work with Awana, I'm able to connect with world leaders of Awana around the planet and in countries where there is great persecution of Christians. And their testimony is that the more the church is being persecuted in our country, like Egypt, my friend Albert in Egypt telling me, the more it's persecuted, the more we're seeing it growing. And he's given me anecdotal evidence that maybe you've heard also. If you haven't, you need to get online and you need to start hearing the testimonies of how the Church of God is growing in some of the most persecuted places. A friend of mine who lives in Iraq, who was able to share with me that, you know, John, there are churches within these war-torn cities that you're hearing about on the news. And we are receiving so many who are coming to Jesus because they see hatred, they experience hatred. Then someone preaches love, and they're drawn to it. Drawn to it. Like the girl that I met at camp last year, and she said this. She said, my mom is Jewish, and my dad is Muslim. And she said, I'm nothing, but I am drawn to something this week in Christianity. She said, I'm drawn to the obvious love of God. So good job, camp. Good job, Christians around there, showing this girl Jesus. She became a Christian that week. So in that family, at least at that point, there was a Jewish person, a Muslim, and a Christian living under the same household. And we pray that all would come, everyone in this world, would come to know, love, and serve Jesus. Because it cannot be chained up. It will go forward. The church is growing, and you're a part of that. How will God use you in this way? How will he use you to build his kingdom? Are you open to this? Do you have your heart and your hands open with great fear and trembling and saying, I trust you, God, with this. I want to be a part of your kingdom that you're building. Like you called Timothy, call me, God. I don't know where you'll put me. I don't know what you'll make me say, but I want to be your servant. I want to follow where you lead me. Well, folks, from here, that willingness that Paul had is a willingness that we're called to have.
if he's willing in verse 10 to endure anything, if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen, so should we. Then there's this very interesting poem or song that is brought out here. And it's sort of an if this, then this kind of poem. And here's how it goes. If we die with him, then we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, then we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And then this phrase, for he cannot deny who he is. He is Yahweh. He is the great I am. He is unchanging. These are some of his characteristics, principles of who he is. And he cannot deny that. And so he lives it out. And we are called then to live that out too. And I think Paul broke out in song here. I'm thinking that maybe this was an early church song of some kind, or a poem, or something that they all recited together, and he maybe broke out in song. It's because of this that I live, it's the kingdom of God, and I've got to sing it out, right? Maybe an moment for Paul here, right? Let me write these things down. He is Yahweh, and he is unchanging. I just got to sing it. And so I love that worship time that we had earlier. We just had to sing it. We have to get it out, man. It's bubbling away inside there. Okay, when you came this morning, you were like, I'm tired, weekend, all this sort of stuff. Maybe you came like this. But then you get in, and songs are going, and you start to awaken your soul to the faith that you have. And you realize, I have no guilty chains upon me. There's no stains in my life. There's no shackles that hold me back. I'm a believer, and so I'm going to sing it out. And you start to sing the good news, right? And we can sing these things. Look at that first one. If I die with him, we'll live with him because he's alive. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. That's an old one, right? But we have to sing it. He lives. We like that word, lives. And so we sing it out. We have to. If we endure hardship, he will reign with us because he reigns. He's king forever. King Jesus is all. It's an old one, right? My all and all. I used to like that one when I was in high school. You know, he'll answer. I did that a lot. Me when I call. Yeah, he's the king. If we deny him, he will deny us because God is faithful to his character and who he is. But really what he's calling us to is to believe, right? And once we're believers, then we are held in his hand, as the book of John tells us in chapter 10. Nothing can snatch us out of his hand. So believe in him. And if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. He's the faithful one. We sing those songs. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Remember those songs that we sing about his faithfulness? Oh, he's faithful, we say. He's good this way. So a song bubbling forth from Paul and also from our hearts, so that as we finish the passage, we maybe are at a place of saying, I got to work for this. I want to work for this. This kingdom of God is something that I want to work toward. Here's how we can work towards this. Look, verse 14, remind, like a bookend, right? Remind everyone about these things. That's some work I can do. I'm going to remind everybody about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Here's another work I could do. I could work towards keeping peace and unity in the body of God. If it's his kingdom, I don't want to see some of this horrible stuff, these words and these that goes on. I'm going to absolutely work against that. This is the kingdom of God. As such, arguments are useless, he says. And they are, aren't they? And they can ruin those who hear them. So we work against ruin. And then we work towards the indwelling of God within us. It builds, doesn't it? Discipleship builds in our life. So verse 15, work hard. I love it. Maybe at this place we're ready to say, yeah, I'm ready to work. I got my gloves on. I got my hard hat on. I got my boots on. I'm ready to work. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. This is actually the theme verse for Awana, and it has been for 65 years. Approved workmen are not ashamed. That's where Awana, A-W-A-N-A, that's where it comes from. Approved workmen are not ashamed. And what it is about is that children and youth and families and all of us are called to dig into the Word of God, to dig into the church and the people around us who know him and love him, to dig in such a way that we are built up in our faith so that we can live out the kingdom of God call. So my final encouragement would be then, are you ready to work? Are you ready to get into this and work together? My blessing to you today would be that the Holy Spirit would take a hold of you today in such a way that you would remember Jesus, the cross, that you would remember that you're part of the kingdom of God, and that he is, in fact, alive, resurrected. My blessing upon you would be that the Holy Spirit would then use you to preach this good news everywhere you go, and that he would, in fact, encourage you and inspire you to work hard for it so that God might use you in incredible ways. Let me quickly pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage and how it applies to our lives. And I do, Lord, leave it into your hands as to how you will move in our own lives to apply it as we live out in this day and age and place in which you've brought us. We humbly ask, Lord, for your indwelling and your encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. Let's hear it for John. Okay. Great job. Thanks so much, John. It was interesting. Talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we thought that we would ask John to be a part of our series, we had no idea that the verse or the passage that we would give him would be the Awana theme verse. It's just the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that's how things work. So thanks so much, John. So before we go, just wanted to let you know that this coming Sunday and the Sunday following, we're moving into a time where we're going to be talking about our global work. And it's really two Sundays that we do every year at this time. And we'll talk about our global workers, where they're at. Some of their stories will be shared with us. I'm going to be speaking this coming week. And our theme verse for our global work emphasis this year is Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I'm excited about these next couple of Sundays, so we want you to come back for that. It's going to be very cool. I'll be speaking this Sunday coming up, but then Christo Emmanuel is going to be joining us the next Sunday. Christo is from Chennai, India. He has spoken here before during our global work emphasis, and that guy is amazing. The work that they're doing in Chennai is amazing, and you're going to be really encouraged when you see that. We also have some video from other global workers that we're supporting, so we're excited for the next couple of weeks coming. All right, everybody, that's it for today. We'll see you this coming Sunday. Have an incredible rest of your Sunday. God bless you.